Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. One good deed is not enough to redeem a man of a lifetime of wickedness. What do you think? Is it not enough? I know, to me, it's kind of like that age-old question from Nicodemus, isn't it? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again? Which is basically more or less, can you just hit reset and start over? Can you? To put it another way, can you live a partially or even completely terrible, debased life for some or even most of it? Yet still have your slate like perfectly clean. If in a single moment of penitence you chose to turn it around, to make a confession, and to promise to change your ways, let's for the sake of argument say that you could hit reset to restart. Should that mean that you who's reset it, who's restarted, should also be eligible to be judged equitably? But all of us who spent our lives praying, doing good deeds, and otherwise being for the most part pure. I mean, shouldn't there be like different tolls when we all get in front of Peter at the pearly gates? An easy pass lane for the most of the blameless. A ticket easy pass lane for the average. And a cash only lane for the most of the guilty. Or should there be just one lane for all, and if so, which one would that be? But finally, and more to the point, are there lines that we can and cannot cross before we irrevocably lose the goodwill of society and the goodwill of God? Or in the end, can God indeed, maybe even society, forgive all, even the most unclean? Here's a clear window to what I'm getting at this morning. He goes by the name of Harvey Weinstein. Now, this guy deserves to be in the longest, most delayed, excruciating, cash-only toll lane there ever was, right? Same goes for Bill Cosby. And for too many others. But what about someone like Morgan Freeman? Why, Morgan? Why? I think I have seen Shawshank Redemption about 30 times in my life. I even went to see that horrible Along Came a Spider movie when I was a teenager just because he was starring in. Morgan, what are you doing? Do you know that Morgan Freeman has spearheaded 21 charities and has been involved in another 20 goodwill causes? He has championed measures to protect the environment. He has established relief funds for those damaged or lives damaged by hurricanes. He has donated to veterinary colleges and medical colleges. He has aided the Mississippi's Animal Rescue Shelter. He has made and supported and been a patron for artists in South Africa. And he has recently supported CAMFED, a campaign for female education, whose vision is a world in which every child is educated, protected, respected, and valued, and grows up to turn the tide of poverty. We know that part about Morgan, and now we also know, unfortunately, we think this part about Morgan Freeman. According to a report on CNN just days ago, 8 women have come forward and accused him of sexual assault and harassment. Comments about the looks, comments about his fantasies of and with them, free-floating hands, the skirt lifted up. Horrible. Horrible is true. Of course, citizens deny these allegations, specifically saying that he's never perpetrated an assault or even come close to a working definition of that. But he has admitted to making jokes and offering compliments. him like so many of the rest of the others in Hollywood, especially the men, as disgusting, predatory, sinful, criminal. And yet, at least he didn't reach Weinstein, Cosby, Louis C.K. levels. But what should we do with him? Are allegations, these allegations, enough, damning enough to cost him his grace, our grace, his place in our society? Should we boycott his movies, scrutinize his charities? Should we ever listen to anything that this guy ever has to say about anything or narrate about again? In short, how do we reconcile these potentially ugly, ugly, ugly truths with the measure of the rest of his life? These ugly truths against all of his contributions to the arts, to the suffering, to the marginalized, to the ultimate no way. Better yet, how do we reconcile our own ugly truths with the rest of our otherwise good and decent lives? Do we wake up every morning and just gloss over them? Or should we come out and do a tell-all? We believe that the totality of our goodness renders our shortcomings rather insignificant and thus unworthy in the end. How do we reconcile our good lives with the things we don't want to tell others? I think the first step, especially here for us as Christians, is to start not with a flat denial, but with an admittance that, yes, we are very, very, very far from perfect. For no matter how pure you fashion yourselves to be, you are sinners. We are sinners. We all fall short, consciously, subconsciously, overtly, covertly. We are sinners through and through. We each of us have been the harassed. We each of us have been the harasser. You might not want to believe it, but yeah. Your hand, I reached out and touched his arm the other day. I'm not like that. Your hand that was on your shoulder this morning, lingered for a moment too long. We have all encroached upon another's autonomy. We all encroach upon another's sensitivity more times than we can even think or number to imagine. And make no mistake, I am including myself in this charge. I have skeletons. And you know what? So do you. Honestly, I think it would be a shame. It would be a shame and probably even a sin if we were made to be trudged through the public square, onward and in perpetuity, wearing a list of our offenses pinned to our front, without regard to the benevolences fastened to our back, such that ever we felt compelled to speak up against an injustice or a wrongdoing of some kind. It would be wrong, I think, for someone else in that crowd to say, but yeah, his name is tarnished. He can't listen to a word he has to say. Don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. I am not attempting to defend the indefensible. I'm not sanctioning man's often detestable character as it has been throughout the dawn of time. As accused, Morgan Freeman, joking or not, was and is the villain, and is guilty of perpetuating wrongs and shattering securities to the absolute least. No celebrity, no commoner, no minister, no adult, no man or woman, boy or girl, teenager or whatever, should ever conduct themselves in such a way that others have become to feel harassed, belittled, or powerless, full stop. But I guess all I'm trying to say this morning, what the gospel has said for 2,000 years, Christ came precisely for these, for us, for lying, clean people, with unclean lips. And more, Christ charges us as followers to forgive these unclean lips, even ourselves, 77 times over, and more so that once forgiven, we can then rise to the occasion to then fight against perhaps even the very same ill wills that we once perpetrated. For like Isaiah, God calls upon us sinners even by name, visiting with us at night and nurturing us in the morning, so that even the least of us can turn around and become one of the kingdom's greatest ambassadors. If you've lost me or you don't believe me, think of King David, liar, adulterer, murderer. King David, should we blacklist all of his sons because of his infidelities? Or don't we get something out of his works? The rawness. What about Paul, formerly Saul, the once great persecutor of Christians? Should we rip out his letters, most of the New Testament, right out of Scripture? Or don't we get something out of his life lived? I personally would hate to lose his sayings on love and the gifts of the Spirit. What about L.K. Jr. and his affairs? What about Calvin and his execution of servants? What about Augustine and his lusts? I dare say all of these scoundrels. These are the imperfect allies that we have in the Lord. And they make up such a large percentage of our holy text and our narrative. And it is through their imperfections, their real three-dimensional lives lived, that we too can share in and tell our mortal story of God's redemptive powers in our own life. So I pray that we always remember this. When we begin to reach for those stones to pick up and throw. When we begin to notice the specks and even the logs in our neighbor's eyes. When we start to discredit all the good works and deeds someone has done because of the horrible mistakes they too have made and have committed, or yet apologetic for and have moved on from. For just maybe those people, for just maybe people have a story given to them by God that the rest of us are in need of hearing. For the simple yet radical good news this morning that I myself wasn't even sure I wanted to hear, that the wind blows wherever it chooses, and anyone can be saved. Anyone can turn from their ways. Anyone can be born again from the Spirit, and all can be forgiven. All can be forgiven. All can be forgiven. When I pitched this ending to Anya last night, she took a long, long look at me, paused for a moment, and with an ounce of surprise and a pound of suspicion, she said, "Really? So even Harvey Weinstein, you're going to say it could be forgiven and saved and end up, you know, up there? Yeah." As much as my first impulse was to say, "Hell no! Obviously not him." The Spirit, I think, reminded me that it's not about my grace. It's not about your grace. It's not about Sandy's grace, the accuser's grace, the church's grace. It's about God's grace. Our gracious word this morning couldn't be any clearer. Everyone who believes, whoever believes on us, whoever comes to believe in him, may not perish but have eternal life. Friends, this is indeed great, great news, even if unsettling news. For no matter what you've done, no matter how unclean your lips have been, no matter the size or the amount of the skeletons you're threading away in your attic, there's still time. for you. You know who you are. Even for you, there is still time to turn around, to approach the throne of grace, to see the light, to choose to be born again, but this time not of the flesh, but from above. There's a place I know where the train goes slow, where sinners can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a river by the trestle, down by sinners' grove, down where the willow and the dog tree grows, down there by the train, down there by the train, down there by the train where the train goes slow. You can hear the whistle. You can hear the bell. From the halls of heaven to the gates of hell, there's room for the sacred. If you're there on time, you'll be washed of all your sins and all of your crimes. Down there by the train. Down there by the train. Down there by the train where the train goes slow. There's a golden moon that shines up through the mist. And I know that your name will be on that list. There's no eye for an eye, there's no tooth for a tooth. I saw Judas Iscariot carrying John Wilkes Booth down there by the train. Down there by the train. Down there by the train where the train goes slow. So if you live in darkness, if you live in shame, all of the passengers will be treated the same. Old Humpty Jackson and Jip the Blood will sing Charlie Whitman's on the Dillinger's wings, down there by the train, down there by the train, down there by the train where the train goes slow. So if you've lost all your hope, if you've lost all your faith, I know that you will be cared for, I know you will be safe. For all of the shameful and even all of the horrors, even the soldier who pierced the heart of the Lord is down there by the train. Is down there by the train. Is down there by the train where the train goes slow.